Measuring Economic Growth.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. This morning, we'll get a take on how fast the economy grew in the second quarter. The government will release the gross domestic product. The GDP measures the value for all the goods and services our economy creates. Last quarter, the GDP grew quickly at 5.6%. Everyone expects the growth rate to be a little slower this quarter. Ashley Milne-Tai points out that there are both good and bad things about a slowing economy.
The economy can't go gangbusters forever, nor should it, says economist Hugh Johnson.
You know, when the economy is growing at a very rapid pace, it's pretty easy for companies to raise their prices or pass through their higher costs of energy, for example,
causing inflation to rise and prompting the Fed to keep hiking interest rates. Johnson says an economic slowdown should be considered a boon.
Let's call it the sweet spot for the economy, a pace between 2 and 3% and an inflation rate that is coming down.
On the other hand, Global Insight economist Nigel Galt says there's always the concern that a slowdown could be the start of a domino effect. So instead of the economy chugging along at a sustainable rate,
that maybe you fall well below that rate. And if you start falling well below that rate, you'll get nasty consequences, including the unemployment rate starting to increase.
Still, Galt doesn't see a recession looming, just more sluggish growth through the end of the year. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tai for Marketplace.
Last month, the GOP-controlled Senate rejected a call by the Democrats to hike the minimum wage. Now, Democrats and some Republicans in the House are ready to vote for an increase. They also want it right away, before the end of the weekend and the beginning of their summer break. It's been almost 10 years since the federal government increased the minimum wage. Right now, employees in that category earn $10,700 a year. 50 Republicans have written a letter to the majority leader. That letter says no one working full-time should live in poverty. Walmart has finally admitted defeat and pulled out of Germany. The world's biggest retailing chain is selling its German stores at fire sale prices. Stephen Beard has more on that story from London.
The retreat is not just humiliating, it's costly. Walmart has lost $1 billion on its ill-fated German foray. It's now selling all the 85 hypermarkets it bought there since the late 90s. Walmart admits it never really came to grips with German shopping habits, but there was an added misfortune. In recent years, German consumers have been even more lethargic than usual, says David Shurif of The Economist magazine. Walmart has faced a big consumer downturn.
They picked probably the worst 5 years they could have done. Even now, although consumer confidence was supposed to be coming back, the latest figures released a couple of days ago seem to show that it's slumped again.
He says Walmart is clearly relieved to be bailing out of Germany. The company, which runs more than 6,000 stores around the world, is now focusing on high-growth markets in China, India and South America. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Well, here's where the market stood at the close of business on Thursday. The Dow was down 2 points at 11,100. The Nasdaq off 15 at 2054. And the S&P down 5 at 1263. This is Marketplace. American Apparel has opened a new store, but don't look for it in the yellow pages. Try the internet. It's a virtual store. Charlotte Baer says it's all part of an online world.
Second Life's users are almost all between 20 and 30 years old. Most can afford high-speed internet. That's just the type of consumer hip clothing retailer American Apparel wants to attract, so it's set up shop in the virtual world to market to trend-setting consumers. Will Davis specializes in interactive advertising at Eisner Communications. He says the virtual store could broaden the brand's appeal.
It can open their brand up to an audience that may not have experienced it before, who may then go out and make purchases because they're experiencing the game.
Davis says American Apparel is getting a big bang for fewer bucks than traditional ads cost. Other retailers are watching to see if they should follow into the uncharted advertising territory. I'm Charlotte Baer for Marketplace.
You're listening to American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com. And by Reuters. Reporting from around the world, every day, every hour, every second. Reuters helps you stay in the know, now.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. These days, it seems everybody knows what film is number one at the box office. they also know how much money it pulled in. But some films are never even close to being number one, yet they somehow managed to do well financially, surprising both the film critics and the fans. Mike Spires, managing editor for Daily Variety, I asked him about the surprise hit of the summer that never made it to number one, The Devil Wears Prada.
It never made it to number one, but it's holding in there every week, and that's really what matters. This is a movie that opened, 4 weeks ago, and already it's now above Superman every week, which means that while Superman had an amazing opening and everyone talked about it and then kind of went away, Devil Wears Prada is the one that's slow and steady wins the race. And that's kind of what matters for these indie films.
When you look closely at Prada, there are a lot of other audiences besides fashion-oriented women that this movie appeals to. I mean, I love the movie. Is this broader appeal part of the reason it has legs?
That's certainly one reason. A broad appeal, and how it became a broad appeal is pretty amazing because it is a movie about fashion. You'd think it would be just for women. It was based on a book that was pretty much just for women. And all of a sudden, it becomes the hottest date movie of the summer. And a lot of that has to do, of course, with the performances because Meryl Streep is someone who elevates this movie from just kind of a sitcom-y feel to something that makes it important and something vital and something a compelling watch. And that is kind of the old-fashioned Hollywood, which is how one person can elevate a movie by a performance.
Snakes on a Plane is coming out soon. That film seems to have been marketed very well. It probably won't top the box office, but does it have to in order to make it financially successful?
It does not have to top the box office week after week to do that. It still might top the box office because you never know. I don't know what it's up against, but the big movies are gone. I mean, the big movies, Pirates, Superman, X-Men, those movies are gone from our system. So now comes the end of summer, and this something like this certainly has a shot.
Yeah, I'm imagining, you know, rats on a raft or bugs on a boat or something in a sequel.
Absolutely.
This,
you could just imagine that this is the pitch that they went in with the studio. They just walked in and go, I got it. Snakes on a Plane.
Okay, here's another example. Clerks 2 is out. It's directed by and stars Kevin Smith. I don't think anybody expects that film to make a lot of money, but I get the feeling that that's not even the expectation the studio has.
Clerks 2 is in a unique situation because everyone loved the first Clerks. I mean, this is what made independent film. A lot of people say Clerks was the reason the indie film explosion happened, you know, 10 years ago. And Kevin Smith has become kind of a name within certain circles. So I don't think they walked in saying, yeah, let's just do it because it's fun. I think they expected to make money. And based on the opening weekend, I think they're going to make a little bit of money. And then comes the DVD sales, and that's really where they're going to get stuff.
Mike Spire is managing editor for Daily Variety. We're podcasting. If you want more information, check out our website at marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy your weekend.
American Public Media.
At its height, the British music show Top.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.